Hello, and welcome to Dice Masters United. I'm Spug.
I'm Ben.
I'm James.
And I'm Peter.
Coming up in this episode...
As the major competitive scene cools and the wait for Secret Wars begins in earnest, we take a look at some of the fun cards we want to build around in more.
That's right. There are none of your Master Molds or Turbo Barrys here. We're all about the lighter stuff tonight.
Except when we're not. And we can't help but counsel each other over the team-building nightmare that is the latest two-team takedown online event.
All that and more in the latest episode of Dice Masters United.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. And as we mentioned in the last episode, we've been on a pretty hot competitive streak recently as we welcomed in new sets in the shape of Superman, Kryptonite Crisis, and the Dark Phoenix Saga. And we did the huge undertaking of all the reviews of all the cards. And then we built up to US Nationals / Worlds over in Memphis, Tennessee, just a few short weeks away. But now we have decided that we should probably do something a little bit lighter for a change, because we do tend to get a bit heavy on the competitive front some of the time.
Decided or got told to do something.
Well, there might have been that. Yes, we should we should say thank you to listener Steve, who got in touch and asked if, as a casual player, if we were aiming to help him. And to be frank, Steve, probably a lot of the time we're not very good at that. That probably isn't our superpower, if you like. But we thought we'd have a bit of a go at it tonight and come up with something a little bit lighter. So we've been looking at some of the cards in the new modern meta, so obviously just three sets, but that are a bit more fun, a bit less Master Mold, a bit less Barry, and might be seen as something over it that you might enjoy over a kitchen table.
I will say our other not superpower is replying to correspondence in a timely manner, because his email is actually from March. So sorry, Steve.
Oh, what? But
we had it in mind. Well, or was it August? I don't know. Is that an American date? It was a while.
Yeah, it's American.
It was.
Okay. Okay, we're not as bad as I thought we were.
We can't. The world was coming up. We had to do set reviews. There was stuff in the way.
Yeah,
there was important work to be done.
Yeah,
exactly. we were preparing everyone for the big dance. But now that is done, we are, well, maybe cooling our jets slightly as we wait for Secret Wars. When Secret Wars coming? Is it supposed to come in the final month of the year?
December, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the last? That's the latest on Doodah.
Yeah,
suppositories. Like, what's it called? Solicit.
Suppositories.
I don't know where you're getting your information from. Looking up your suppositories page, James. I don't think that's a very good idea. But yes, we wait for Secret Wars towards the end of the year. I guess we'll start to get some more spoilers over the coming weeks as we look forward to that. And of course, a new design for the cards. But let's not get too bogged down in that right now, because we've got some other stuff to talk about. So thank you, Steve, for getting in touch and for prompting us to do this little segment. So, Peter, I'm going to come to you. What have you been thinking about in terms of fun cards in Modern that you'd like to get to the table?
Well, I've always liked a bit of Flying Sidekicks action. Obviously, Barry can make your sidekicks fly very well.
Not just fly.
Yeah.
They can smash like no tomorrow.
Fly like an albatross. But I was looking at some other options that are not as gross. So there are a couple of sidekick boosting cards out there, such as the common Emma Frost. She gives you a sidekicks plus one attack and plus one defense, and also the Hellfire Affiliation Club, Hellfire Club, is it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a decent option. And there's a rare spider, rare Iceman, that gives them plus one attack only.
Oh yeah.
It's also over four costs. There are some more expensive options, like the super rare Batman that gives them plus to attack, but he also has the global that makes you fabricate some sidekicks. So that's also good. And the promo Typhoid Mary is actually surprisingly effective. She has Energize, and then she gives you sidekicks plus 2 attack and Overcrush at the start of your attack step.
So if you can buy your 4-cost Iceman, your 4-cost Emma Frost, your 6-cost Batman, your 5-cost, is it 5-cost promo?
I think it's a 5-cost, yeah.
Get the first 3 in the field and then energize on Typhoid Mary. You've got what? Your sidekicks are what? 7?
7s.
7-7? No, not 7-7. No. They are 7 with Overcrush. That's not bad. That's pretty juicy. I like that.
Yeah, get a couple out and...
That promo Typhoid Mary, I think, is really fun. Over because of the rare, probably. But yeah, that's the one that makes this team, probably. You probably only need that and one of the other boosters, right?
Yeah, that'll probably do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
But you could put Super Rare Batman on there for the global.
Mm.
At the very least.
You could, and then you never know. You might get a chance to buy him, which would be pretty handy.
Yeah.
If you could. Yeah, they're not really flying in the sense of, because obviously the original flying sidekick variant was because they were unblockable, wasn't it? Using, was it Falcon or Angel? Which one of it that was
Falcon.
It that made them?
Falcon and Recon.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that made them truly fly.
Yeah.
But still, you get a bunch of them and you buff them all.
Yeah, there are some other ways to make them sort of flying as well. Like if you want to talk. Villainous Pact would be working for making them unblockable. But stuff would, like the rare Cable would double their attack and they have Overcross.
Yeah, but only their printed attack.
Ah, never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
But stuff like the rare Dark Phoenix that makes them unblockable by stuff that's slower than 4. But it's just...
Yeah. Just Phoenix, isn't it? It's just Phoenix.
Just Phoenix, yeah, Phoenix.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, she's cool, actually, yeah. And, I built a 2-team takedown team with her and Hope before. But I could never really get it to work because I had absolutely woeful ramp. But that's a story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, what have you been thinking about?
So, lots of things, obviously. Life in general. But no, in terms
from
of
a dice master's perspective,
what I'm actually interested in is probably building around one of the cards that I really like from the new Superman Kryptonite Crisis, which is the common poison ivy, which is basically has energize. You get to feel the plant token. I really like the fact that basically either way, on 5 of her 6 side, you get a character.
Yeah,
and kind of thinking about how to make the most of energize. So I have a couple of things that I want to mess around with. The University of Dice. Just did a spotlight on this card, which is the super rare Joker, totally insane.
Oh, yeah.
He's a 4-cost villain and has the ability, when fielded, you may reroll all of your character dice in the field zone.
Oh.
Which doesn't sound good, but it's very interesting with Energize. So if you field Joker, basically you can reroll everything in your field. You have to reroll everything or nothing. And then you can prep, or you can basically use it, and then you can use the Poison Ivy to still get characters no matter what, and then keep the energy, is the idea.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So the idea is to basically play around with Energize, use a bunch of different Energize effects. There's the Black Widow, which obviously spins down, but there's some other interesting Energize effects out there. And then use the Joker to kind of trigger those at an unexpected time. Similarly, I have the rare Black Swan. Whose subtitle I won't try and pronounce, but she's a 5-cost Bolt, which I think is a very fascinating card, which I don't think anyone particularly batted an eyelid at. But when she basically attacks, you may reroll any of your active character dice, again, triggering Energize if they roll energy. Mm. More interestingly, I think on the double burst, you may also reroll any of your active character dice when one or more of your Black Swan character dice block. So you can use this on your opponent's turn to trigger Energize, which I think is very interesting.
And then, of course, if you use your Joker to trigger the rolling and re-rolling thing, any tokens that you have are immune to that, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. So basically you can protect yourself using those tokens and then also get other benefits from other Energize characters. Energize is always a fun one to play with. There's a super rare Adam Warlock that also messes with them.
Yeah.
I think these two cards could also be useful in that way. So you can basically stock up your energized effects in the field before you're ready to trigger them all in one big go.
So
I think they're fun to mess with.
Tokens are plenty.
Yeah, but it's not just that, right? There's loads of energized effects that could be used. I'm just thinking about the Poison Ivy because I like her a lot.
Oh, millions, yeah. I mean, crumbs, all the things like, I mean, obviously the rare Black Widow from Infinity Gauntlet has been very heavily used in competitive play, hasn't she? The one that energizes and spins down a character one level or spins it to energy if it's already on level one. But there are a bunch of others. The Doctor Strange, there's a big fat Doctor Strange, isn't there, that
spins out
stuff when he energizes, which is expensive, but good.
Yeah, there's stuff like the Captain America. No, I'm thinking about that. Can't remember, but there's something that deals damage. Is it Cyclops? Cyclops might deal like ping damage.
Yeah, to a character, and then you reroll him.
Yeah,
yeah.
So triggering like stuff like that is interesting. Not quite as good as the Domino, but. Yeah. Interesting still, especially if with the Black Swan you can do it in your opponent's turn.
Yeah. Now answer me this: how can we have currently in Modern no version of Captain America? How can this be? Oh, we've had an Infinity
an outrage.
I know. Like I'm shocked.
Well, Chris Evans is done, so he's done for Dice Masters.
Oh, that's a bit.
That's sad.
I mean, he's a terrible character. No one likes Captain America.
Really? I do.
No.
Not really.
I was going to say something which would have probably got me cancelled.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, don't get us cancelled, please, Ben.
Not again.
I think maybe he's just a bit too old now, as you say, Ben. He's gone back to live with Peggy and he's got a bit too old to be.
Bury him under the ice again.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised though that he didn't. I've only just thought that he's missing from the Infinity Gauntlet set when there's so many characters there.
Mm.
When did we last get a new Captain America?
Avengers Infinity.
Yeah, he had a good card. No,
he was in there. That's true. Yeah, fair enough. I guess, back to your energized plant token thing, Ben, the only shame about those plant tokens is they obviously have zero attack, which is which is not great if you're wanting to attack with them.
No. But get a Barry in there.
And then you're out of fun territory.
No, wait a minute. You just can't help yourself. Accusing me of not being somebody who wants to play for fun before we started recording. But,
you can't even flip the stats or anything because they would die.
Oh dear.
There is a bunch of stuff that like pumps characters, which doesn't really work in tandem with that. But there's an Iron Man which gains 2 life when you energize. That could be interesting.
Yes.
Game life.
That could make the game longer than anyone would ever want to possibly bear. But that's good. Who wants to talk about some Brotherhood action?
Yeah, sure.
Do it.
So I really like the rare Sabretooth from Dark Phoenix. When he attacks, he gives all of your Brotherhood affiliated characters +2 attack.
Yes.
Including himself. And there's a nice global to give characters the Brotherhood affiliation on radicalization.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And there's some nice Brotherhood characters out there like Mystique. So I think there's something you could do. You could even give your plant tokens to the Brotherhood affiliation and give them +2 attack.
You could.
It's a way of tax ability as well, right, though? So you can't do it after blockers have been declared. It's a bit of a shame.
No.
Hmm.
No, but everything gets +2. So, you'd have to pay the global beforehand.
That Sabretooth is really good, though. He can get pretty out of control.
And he also has a team watch ability, and then target die can't block.
Yeah.
So that is also pretty useful. But you would need something that already has the affiliation, because you can't give something the affiliation in your reserve pool.
Yeah, there's loads of good brothers. Like that, the Mystiques, there's a couple of good Mystiques. And there's a 6-cost blob, which can block 3 things, which is really, really useful. I quite like quite a bit of it.
There are some really nice. I mean, unfortunately, the pool of Brotherhood characters is quite small, but they are they are quite fun. I think some of them in modern, because you've got that Magneto that can.
That's true as well. Yeah,
the removal front.
Yeah, especially with something like Living the Dream, you can get those loyalty tokens on like Madeline Pryor and Magneto.
Yes, I mean, there's two different versions of Magneto, aren't there? There's a super rare.
The one that spins out.
The rare spins target opposing character die to an energy face of your opponent's choice when you using the Team Watch ability. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the super rare that says when one of your Brotherhood character dice is KO'd, KO target opposing character dice.
Yeah, I quite like that one in tandem with there's a Madeline Pryor. One of your when your Brotherhood character dice is KO'd, you put a loyalty counter on Madeline Pryor. So if can get Madeline Pryor out, she has to be active. But if she's active and then you field a Mystique, KO the Mystique, that's a masked character and a Brotherhood character. So you get a token on Madeline Pryor and Magneto.
It's
quite fun. Nice.
Yeah, it's quite a nice, easy. Because then, like you say, if you use the Living the Dream.
You can get that easily.
Basic action. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty nice combo. That's the one that's a continuous 4-cost continuous action. If among all character cards on your team you have at least 3 loyalty counters, your character dice get +1/+8 and overcrush.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brackets until the end of the turn, which seems crazy because
that is you can ignore that.
It's a continuous die, so it's not until the end of the turn.
No, yeah, you ignore
it's
that.
It's forever. Or until the die is removed. That is really cool. I think that Brotherhood team would be really fun. If you're doing a single affiliation build, then Brotherhood, like we said, you wouldn't have masses of characters to choose from, like X-Men or something, but it does give you a nice
range. Very functional in modern, and then in golden it's crazy good.
Because you can get some of the real old stuff, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about? Anything particular there?
Scarlet Witch,
of course.
The 4-cost blob, which locks them out.
Yeah. Oh, he's horrid.
Yeah, they're really both really good.
Avalanche. Really yes, James.
Nice.
He's the one who
I've woken up.
when a villain is fielded, deal 1 damage to all opposing character dice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brotherhood has been a really good affiliation, and it carries on being a very fun affiliation to build around.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That Brotherhood thing is fun. And do you think we'll get any more Brotherhoods with Secret Wars, or do you think they'll cool on that for the moment?
I predict there will be 1.
Go on, who?
I don't know anything about Marvel.
I don't know who's in Secret Wars.
No, I know the sort of the original Secret Wars story where they all get kidnapped by the Beyonder.
Yeah, it's more of a Fantastic Four Doctor Doom, isn't it?
That's great stuff. When Hulk catches a mountain range.
That's a great cover. That
isn't
is
it?
A great cover, yeah. Yeah, I love that. We're talking about art here, but I'll find that. Maybe I can use it as a thumbnail for the podcast or something.
Secret Wars wasn't as much of an X-Men thing, right?
Well, they were in it.
Vis-a-vis, there won't be as much.
Yeah, but they were there. Yeah, they were there.
Magneto was there, wasn't he?
Magneto was for sure, yeah. I think a lot of the villain stories revolved around Doctor Doom and...
Yeah.
What is he called? Molecule Man or something? And Titania, if we want to go. Yes. She's in it. she's there. And Spider-Man gets his black suit.
Yay.
I've got that. I think I've got the
actual American...
No, he's talking about a spandex suit.
He's got the costume.
I've got it on now.
I wondered why your camera was turned off tonight, James. You do sound a little muffled, I have to say.
All right, let's move on.
All right, sorry. Let's move on. What's up next? James, talk.
I've got nothing, really, because I am not fun. I'm just not fun. And a lot of this feels like just, to me, and I know it's not, and I know there's different ways to see it, but it feels like just B-team, stuff that has failed to...
Can you see why we don't make podcasts about...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is the real answer to your question, Steve. all of this stuff is just stuff that could have been good if it had been a little bit better, but it didn't quite make it into the top tier. Wait, I'll give you. So I say something because I've got things which are not... I don't know if they're really fun, but they're not. They're not in any way competitive, and I kind of wanted them to work, and they didn't, which is kind of different from what we're talking about. But I'm going to mention them anyway. There was, you know, that Wolverine, the rare Wolverine from whatever it's called, Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix Saga.
And we mentioned it when we did the review, but it says when he's on a burst phase, when you spin up another character die, spin Wolverine up. In theory, as we pointed out then, you can use him if you've got like mutation, mm-hmm. then you get him on one of his burst phases. Every time you use an awaken ability on something else, you can spin him up. So he's like an unlimited source. Well, you know, limited by the number of masks you've got for mutation.
Yeah.
He'll spin up every time, so you can always spin him down to spin something with awaken up.
Mm.
Sounds great, except that there's no good awaken in modern.
There's Nebula.
There is Nebula, and I played it in a video with Jason, which might be out by the time this comes out, or if not, then shortly after. And I never managed to get to bloody Nebula. But I did try and get the Kitty Pryde to go with him, you know, the awaken prepper die from your bag.
Yes.
But it is fun, but it's nothing more than a bit of fluff because it's kind of pointless in the end because his that Wolverine card has a global which says pay a fist, prep a die. So why are you bothering fiddling around with Kitty Pryde just so you can, you know, prep another die? You would say to keep it away from your opponent, but you've already given them the Wolverine global. So the only real advantage is that you can do it for a mask off mutation rather than a fist off Wolverine. So that was a bit of a turn. That's true. You can. I didn't, but you can. And anyway, so there was that. But, you know, if there were more awaken abilities, you know, there's collector as well. If you can ever get to a 5 cost while maintaining your field, which I couldn't, but if you can do that, there's the rare collector, which lets you field a 3 cost and below. That's all right. Yeah,
but that's only once per turn.
Only once per turn, but, you know, it could be...
You could feel the Kitty Pryde and then spin her up.
yeah. You can feel the Robin, but then it probably stops being fun. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from. There were two others maybe I could mention.
Wolverine would have been fantastic if the Tyrrell was still around. Ooh. So Tyrrell's sword for hire...
Yeah.
Which is, when it's active, you may spin this character down one level if you do prevent all damage to you from target opposing character dice. Mm. So basically Wolverine will give you an unlimited amount of spin-ups on Tyrrell, which is part of the problem on the Tyrrell. You could never get it. It always got stuck in the field at level one. You could always had level one characters because you'd spun them all down to spin Tyrrell up. But because
Wolverine... A ton of masks. Yeah, good.
Wolverine gave you unlimited spin-ups. It would be fantastic with that. And maybe that will get a reprint. You never know.
Who knows?
And what about the Atom?
Now we're out of fun territory now. I think it's got potential for sure, just as it stands.
But that's the use of playing these cards, James, because then when a new set comes out, you're like, oh, yeah, remember that thing? It didn't quite work. Maybe it'll work with this new thing that's come out.
Fair enough. I did play it. I was a little disappointed with it, but I did play it. I can see that point. The other one was the two others. There was the Joker what does it do? You target something when you field it, and when that die gets KO'd, he got a ruling, when that die or any copy of that die gets KO'd, and it has to be opposing, I think, and non-sidekick. They've made like six providers. An opposing non-sidekick die, but all copies of that die, and when it gets KO'd, it goes through the use path.
Yeah.
I tried to play that on a team, didn't work very well, but I'm sure there could be fun with that. And
what was
the
ruling,
was,
James? What? How did they rule it?
It was that. I don't have the words, but basically we were asking whether it could be, whether it was just the targeted die, and in which case, how the heck would you trek it through the bag? But they decided that it was all copies of that die, but they did specify it couldn't be your die and it couldn't be a psychic. So, you know, there might be a bit of fun in that. And the last one was Hulk. What did I say it was? Hunter Green.
Yeah. Hunter Green. Dude or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
From Infinity Gauntlet, which is five cost Hulk with Hulk stats, which is great. And he's got call out. And call out says, if you're going to block it, you have to block it with the die that I say you can block it with. Otherwise, you can't block it.
Yeah.
Which means it's good removal. I mean, it's five cost, but it's got massive stats on it. And if you want to block it, you have to block it with that thing that I don't want to see. So either you let his massive stats through, or I get rid of your horrible thing. And it's got a fist pump on it, which is how I came to use it in the first place. Because sometimes you need a fist pump.
Don't leave anyway, that's out to AJ.
I think the Hulk Infinity Gauntlet cards are pretty underrated in general. I like the super rare where if it's on a burst face, and it kills something, it goes to use pile instead as well. The prep rare. That one's nice as well. But the rare is Hunter Green. Call out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Five cost, good stats.
Yeah. Well, thank you, James. Basically, the long and the short of that sermon is fun equals no good.
Yes, that was the gist of it.
Yeah.
No good yet.
To each their own, right?
Yeah. Ben, what about? I mean, Colossus, common Colossus. Did you?
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't you. Was that Peter? Go on, Peter. Yeah. Talk about that.
So, common Colossus is a five cost with good stats, and he has Overcrush, which is always good.
Yeah,
he is. And he has Energize, which lets you field something, a character die in your reserve pool.
Yeah.
And spin it up to level 3.
Yeah.
That is not always going to be useful, I imagine. You will probably want the character face. But, you know, there was a time when this would have been really good. Before Becky and such came along and made five costs ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, five costs with Overcrush and these stats, not bad.
No, I heartily agree. So when we were on holiday, I did a kind of mini kind of draft using three packets of DPS that we picked up with my two boys, and they both got a common Colossus, and it just the matches just became a Colossus off, basically. Like, I'm gonna buy a Colossus, I'm gonna buy a Colossus, once everybody realized actually it's really quite good. So they smashed me with those, because I didn't get one. So
nice.
that was fun. Yeah, I was crushed by my children. So,
in a similar vein to that, the rare Bizarro is also needs to be played. I haven't really played it.
Someone really needs to puzzle that, don't they, I think.
Yeah, rare Bizarro, you can basically buy it for free, put it in your bag. And it's, again, very similar stats, if not identical stats to the Colossus.
Yeah.
And it has Overcrush as well. So yeah, five costs with Overcrush are always fun.
Yeah, the stats are slightly better actually, and he's a 5/7/8 attack.
Mm. And you can buy him for free.
Yeah,
but you also give your opponent something for free.
Yeah, you do. But if you're playing casually and that's not gonna be a Master Mold or a Barry Allen, then
yeah, true.
It becomes much more fun for you.
And also we talked about this, didn't we, when we did our review, but the fact that, I mean, his text says, just for those who don't remember it, once per turn. So he's a max one. He's a five cost shield. Once per turn, you may add a Bizarro die from this card to your bag. If you do, your opponent takes one of their unpurchased dice and adds it to their used pile. Now, they ruled that once per turn thing had to be done during your main step, didn't they, I think?
Yeah, during when you can normally purchase dice.
Yeah. But obviously the fact that you get to put yours in your bag and your opponent only puts it in their use pile, if you can time it right, then actually you could get something. You know, I think someone pointed out when we talked about it in the review that it could be actually quite a useful finisher.
Yeah.
In the sense of you could get something, you could get a nice beefy Bizarro late on, and it would be too, if you could end the game before your opponent got to put out their 9 cost or whatever it was they decided to get for free, then it's happy days.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to bring it too competitive, but yeah, I did think about him on my Barry Allen team.
Oh, yeah.
The extra bit to get that win very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, because you can just get it for free. Yeah. And with Overcrush, it's pretty nice. That is pretty nice. Good stuff. We did mention Rare Cable, didn't we, previously? But we didn't really talk about it a great deal.
Yeah, you like that card.
I do like that card, yeah. And it was one of those ones that I thought, and I think probably we all thought to a certain degree when we reviewed it, that it would see a reasonable amount of play, but it seems to have been superseded by other cards. But it's the rare from DPS, and it's a 6-cost Bolt who says, when Cable attacks, double the printed A of all your other character dice. And everybody loves a bit of doubling.
Nice.
James, double. You love a bit of doubling, don't you?
Double.
Exactly. Anytime you can double anything, that's always good. And he, you know, he's a 6-cost, so he's expensive, but he doubles even your sidekicks. It makes them 2/2, which is pretty nice. But then if you link him up with the common beast, who from, he's also from Dark Phoenix Saga, but he's only, no, is he from Dark Phoenix? He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he is, he's only a 2-cost fist, but he just has Overcrush. But he does have like 2/2/3 attack stats. So that means that when he's doubled, obviously 4/4/6, pretty good with Overcrush. You're not going to be wanting to block that with anything tiny by and large. Yeah. So those alone, I think, are good fun. I think, Peter, was it you that had one or two other ideas in this vein?
Yeah, and I just got another one, Rare Bizarro.
No, of course. That is, that's probably verging towards too strong to be fun.
Possibly. there's the uncommon Black Widow. It's a 3-cost. She also has Overcrush. Her stats aren't as good as Beast's, but she can only be blocked by sidekicks.
Yeah.
So that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because they will probably not want to block her then.
No.
And there's the uncommon Spider-Man from Infinity Gauntlet. It's 5-cost, but he gets 1 cheaper for each unique character die you have in the field. So if you have a sidekick, a beast, and a Black Widow active, he's only a 2-cost.
Yeah.
And he's got some pretty good stats as well.
Presumably he's the standard 3/3/4/4/5/5.
Indeed.
Spidey stats. Has he always had that? Or have there been some variations of Spider-Man that doesn't have that?
I think there may have been some variations. Yeah, there were variations.
Yeah.
I think in the Spiderman set,
yeah.
And I think in Secret Wars he might have some slightly different sets, slightly different stats. Or is that the Miles Morales one? I can't remember. But Rare Cable is fun. Doubling is always good. And James, we should probably mention the Phoenix Force video that you did, wasn't it? When you did like 140 damage in one go or something, wasn't it? With Phoenix Force doubling.
That double fist global thing, yeah.
You were with, in the old days with Zach.
Double. I can't even remember the details of that. Wasn't it Copper Dragon or something? A bronze dragon with a big ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then stat flip, and then the basic action that gave it an affiliation.
Yes.
Infiltrate,
yeah.
Yes, that was a good card. But it's not in modern. They should bring that back.
Yeah.
Although, I suppose they have things these days, like, well, Avengers ID card's gone, hasn't it? But we have the affiliation. Yeah, that one. Exactly.
Yeah, but Infiltrate could be any affiliation.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a good card. I really liked it.
It was a good shenanigans card, that.
Yeah.
And the +3 defense was pretty good with the stat flip as well.
Indeed.
Yeah. Someone wanted to talk about Super Rare Wally West for some reason.
Two of us wanted to talk about Super Rare Wally West.
Why don't you start then, Ben?
Well, it gives you a second attack stat. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want to mess around with that?
Only Wally West can attack.
Yeah.
But still, you know, if all your stuff has a range or something, then you could do two rounds of range.
Range is the only good thing about that card.
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily, because just the fact that you get a second global window is very interesting.
Okay, go on.
Yeah.
The fact that you can trigger stuff that triggers when attacks off other people is interesting. It's just an interesting timing window. The fact that it creates a second attack step is it
one of these things that might be good in the future?
Well, it might be very good in the future if something good happens. Yeah,
but it's not good now. That's all I'm saying.
No, but James, we're not cool. talking about
stuff we want to play around with.
James, we're talking about fun.
What the hell is fun?
But you're not interested in attacking with Wally while attacking with a bunch of stuff. I want to build a team where I can basically just get Wally West through on a second attack step, get four of him out, and win in one turn with this attack of Wally West after I cleared the field on my first attack step. That seems interesting to me and something like I want to mess around with.
Yeah, all power to you.
But the fact is, it's just
I would not take that away from you.
Especially with range, the range is clearly the best thing with this.
Yeah,
two triggers of range is very strong.
It is,
especially when we have Bizarro and Shazam.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting fact that you get the second attack set. That's why I want to mess around with it.
I think you mean Brainiac.
Brainiac, sorry, yeah.
Oh,
Brainiac,
the range giver.
Yeah,
he's pretty cool. Yeah, well. There are certainly some fun things there. I mean, maybe some people might argue that our versions of fun teams are probably harder than a lot of people's.
Well, can I mention some other things that aren't particularly you wouldn't consider strong that I want to mess around with?
The floor is yours, Ben.
Okay, I have a few more. So the Monsieur Mallor, Mr. Minky.
Oh, the good old Minky.
Yeah, feel like that didn't get enough play.
What does he say?
Well, his main thing is while Monsieur Mallor is active, at least one opposing character die must attack each turn. So forcing your opponent to attack with something.
Nice with Iceman.
Which isn't just a force attack thing. So yeah, that's a very interesting thing to do.
Nice with range.
Nice with Emma Frost.
Yeah, fun with lots of stuff. Investigative Journalism, which did see
it's
some
a really
action.
Good card.
Yeah, I always want to mess around with it a bit more because you draw four dice, roll up to three of them, prep the remainder. I think I want to get practicing with that so I can see if it can work as like a consistent bag cycle. I think up to now we've seen it as just like a thing that works well at the like once in a game. Around with it so it's consistent in a game.
It's super expensive, isn't it, for a 5, but the ability is bonkers. There is a timing question there, isn't there, because you need to have that many dice.
Yeah, what ends up happening is you draw your whole bag in one turn.
Mm.
Then the next turn round, you don't have anything to draw because you're rolling everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll work out how you can make that work better.
Mm.
Some other things, the Deacon, not the rare that everyone is obsessed with, instead of the uncommon, which is obsessed.
He's obsessed.
He's obsessed. Nice. If you take combat damage, you may use an action die from either player's use pile. The fact that you can trigger your own action dice could be interesting.
Combine it with Mr. Minky.
Yeah,
to force your opponent to attack you, and then get the investigative journalism in your use pile.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
James is making faces. Like, that requires me to purchase more than one die.
I know, like,
it requires your opponent to do something on your behalf as well.
I know,
but you're forcing
them
to do something.
What, you're forcing them to buy investigative journalism?
No, they're forcing them to attack you. Pile. You can do it from your use pile or theirs.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
And if they're rude enough to buy one of your investigative journalisms, you can use theirs.
You can still use it.
I'll just wait till it comes down again. Rather than buying those two additional characters.
But there's also Ramp in the Beast, the rare beast. I don't think I've seen enough love. Beast Ramp, I think.
Yeah, that's really good.
That is cool. I've tried that. in today's meta, he's a pain in the neck. But
it sort of doesn't quite work. But with a distraction coming back.
Right. What does he say? We didn't tell people what he said.
So rare beast is when beast attacks, you prep a die from your bag. The first beast you buy costs one more, which is a pain. But basically, yeah, you attack the beast, one. You can prep some dice. I think it'll be good.
I'll give that a thumbs up.
Good. When distraction comes back.
We got there in the end. After 40 minutes, we finally found something.
Yeah, but then it's probably not fun anymore if James gives it a thumbs up.
Yeah. But if distraction comes back, James it could be better.
It's the same as a seal of anti-approval.
And then
I keep interrupting you.
The last one on my list is a Merry Shazam, which isn't the super rare.
Yeah.
The rare Merry Shazam, which is when fielded, deals 3 damage to target character die. Okay. And the next Shazam die you purchase costs 3 less. I want to use Merry Shazam to buy Shazam. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I like that one.
Which That's Shazam?
The really brutal range one.
Yeah. the fun one. Yes.
Yeah, the fun one.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'm all in for the Shazam.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ben. As you can see, we have steered well away from anything slightly competitive throughout the last 40 minutes. We didn't even touch anything of that ilk. Well done, everybody. I think we've done a top job of talking nothing but fun cards. So thanks for your suggestions. And we hope you found that interesting and it sparked a few ideas for things that you might play in your local store or over your kitchen table or wherever. If you've got some thoughts of other cards that you think we should have talked about then, and you're shouting at your radio or whatever device you're using to listen to us on, then please get in touch using the contact details at the end of the show. Otherwise, we'll move on to our next segment.
The meta's only master mold if we allow it to be master molds.
All right, well, yes, we are talking slightly more competitive, I'm afraid. We couldn't stay on the fun stuff for too long. But the latest two-team takedown... Blimey, James, that was an enormous yawn. The latest two-team takedown team tournament, that's the word I'm looking for, has landed. And actually, as you listen to this, the team-building deadline, I think, will have already passed. Because it's quite... early, but this time around we always love a bit of two team takedown action here over at DM United. It's been the format that's been resurrected by the fine people over at DM North. It was originally conceived by the CR Game Room, and it basically consists of people building two distinct teams to face off against each other, and each team is basically not allowed to have any overlapping cards. That was the original concept, and you had to beat your opponent with both of your teams in order to win that particular matchup. Now, DM North have refined it somewhat.
Whoa.
And well, this time around the team building constraints are pretty scary and quite difficult to work around. Peter, it's 20 by 20, isn't it? I think is what they're calling it. What does it mean?
So, yeah, people might be familiar with 10 by 10, which means 10 cards from 10 different sets. Yeah. And in this case, it means 20 cards from 20 different sets across your teams. And the format is like pre-rotation modern.
Right.
So it still includes all the campaign boxes and team packs and promos. And in total, there are 23 sets to choose from. So you use all of them but 3.
Yeah. So they're just treating all the distinct team packs from each expansion essentially as individual sets of their own.
Yeah.
They? So the accompanying team packs from Justice, for example, count as separate entities for the purposes of this team building exercise. But it is causing us some horrendous headaches, isn't it? Because team building, where you can only pick one card from an entire set, particularly when it's one of the latter ones, when you've got like 150 cards, is horrendous. Peter, how is your team building going?
Yeah, another problem is that the basic action cards also have to come from these sets, and there's only so many sets that actually have basic action cards in them.
Oh, good point.
So that also limits your choices incredibly. But I went for Orbital Strike, as is tradition.
Hooray!
for my main team this time around. I'm previous two-team takedowns. That was sort of my B team.
Yeah.
But now it's my A team.
You're going full out Orbital Strike.
Going full out. So I was looking for, you know, dice with good stats, and obviously we have Harley Quinn, the yes. one cost.
Yeah.
And I was looking, and then we have the Mystique from X-Men Forever. That gets +1/+1 for each other character die in the field, both yours and your opponent's.
How does that work with Orbital Strike, though? Does that still count?
It's whatever survives and whatever's left on your opponent's side.
Right, right, yeah.
You get that buff. Nice. And I had some mass characters, and you know what you're going to do with mass characters? Asuka. make him cheaper, and she also gets buffed from fielding other mass characters. So that could get you out of hand quickly. And there was a doppelganger from the Zentrum team pack, I think.
Oh,
that
yeah.
gets +1 attack for each of your other character dice. And so, you know, it's a pretty good stuff going on. And then I had the Magneto that gets buffed when, you know, your mass characters die.
Mm.
And he has the prep global, so that's always useful. And then I threw some other stuff on there. So that was my first team. And then there was nothing left to choose from for my second team, basically. But I looked around a bit, and I found there were a number of attuned characters still available. So I went with that for my second team. Very it's nice. Probably not as good, but it can get nasty, attuned.
While you were talking about Orbital Strike, I realized that we didn't necessarily call out what it actually does. It says it's a 4-cost basic action that says re-roll all of your active character dice, deal damage to target opponent equal to the combined A of all rolled dice showing character faces, KO the rest of them, skip your attack step this turn. So it's like it's an ultimate kind of kamikaze move, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
But
the most dice mastery way of winning.
Well,
or losing,
probably arguably.
More losing mostly, but yeah.
Ben, how is well, your
talk about fun again? Cards, which I feel very grumpy, but I do not get Orbital Strike all. That sounds like a nightmare to me. Yes, I think very similarly to Peter, I was like, I want to build this one team, so I'll build that and then see what I have left over. So obviously I get to play my favorite card, so Danny is on the team.
Yay.
And I basically just built the Danny Iceman team, which I've been running for a while, because it's pretty different. Using Booker T to force blocks. Turk Barrett to do some pinging, Clayface for shenanigans. And then I was kind of like looking around, what can I do with my second team? And then I was like, I kind of fancy doing a Hope team because I feel like that didn't really get to see much love at the time.
Yeah.
So Hope with Dark Phoenix, or much love before it got rotated out. So Hope with Dark Phoenix Saga is kind of what I went for, which meant I couldn't have Iceman. So I changed Iceman into the considerably worse Kevin Nash.
Right.
So Iceman, basically, for those who don't know, if he gets pinged during the attack step, he deals 2 damage to your opponent. Kevin Nash, on the other hand, has to attack, which Iceman doesn't have to do. He can't be KO'd by the damage, but other than that, he's the same. So it has to be during your attack step. He has to be attacking. He can't be KO'd, but you can still ping him a number of times to deal damage. So I went with him.
Yeah, but if they block him to death, then he doesn't work, right?
Yeah, but I have static field, so that's fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Probably not as good as the Iceman team could have been, but then I got to play Hope with the Rare Storm.
That's already.
Which is 7 cost, which I wanted to try, and we never got to because I got rated that before I could. So 7 cost. Hope Summons basically cost copies an X-Man. It acts like the thing you've copied. So Storm has a when fielded reroll target carrot dice. When Storm attacks, reroll up to two opposing carrot dice. Move each dice that does not roll a character face to your opponent's use power, and Storm deals two damage to for each die rolled out this way. Also has an energized effect, which I think Hope still copies, right?
I think it does.
Yeah, if you field her first and then she leaves the field and you re-roll her, then she would still have that.
Yes. Yeah. So if she comes back and she hasn't named a new one, she'll still have the wind fielded as well?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Hope becomes a, for all intents and purposes, a 7 cost, which rolls out your opponent's stuff all the time.
Horrific.
Annoying.
Which is kind of fun.
That was definitely, I mean, that combo was definitely around in the previous two-team takedown tournament, wasn't it? And I saw some people
and then
running that. It's really good.
Because I hate everyone, I also added another, as I was looking for other X-Men, and I used the Polaris, I think, from the Dark X-Men.
Polaris?
While active, each player may only use one global ability each turn.
Oh, dear.
So stop everyone. I figured Mr. Sinister might be around. So Field, Hope, Summers, copy Polaris. They can't use all the globals they want to use.
Nah, my teams don't care about Polaris. It's all good.
I also have Nihilor to KO Hope on my opponent's turn, so I can use that one global, and I have free reign of globals.
Yeah. That's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty. It's good stuff. But you see, the team building decisions are so tough.
Annoying,
aren't they?
Though, isn't it?
Because, you put in, obviously, you mentioned Turk Barrett before. That means he's your one Infinity Gauntlet card from, 150 whatever cards it is. And it excludes so many amazing things, that you can't put in. Pip the Troll, Spider-Man, Thor, just... I could go on, but my brain doesn't...
You end up with just random stuff, right? So on my Danny Moonstar team, I normally have a Gazer.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have Gazer because I have, I think, the Nihilor.
Right, yeah.
Because the Nihilor, I needed a KO Global.
Yeah. And you can have Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. So I was I need a shield so I can use Clayface to bring in shields with Booker T.
Mm.
So I ended up with Doom Patrol Elastigirl because it was the only 2-cost shield available to me. Elastigirl, whatever, fine. She can't really do anything, but she has decent free to field most places. So, you end up with annoying decisions like that.
It's weird. But it will be really interesting. I think it'll be, because people are not going to... Well, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Like you say... We feel there could be a few God Catchers around because that's fairly, that's fairly self-sufficient, isn't it, in terms of what it asks for? Not much else.
Well, you can God Catcher Thor pretty easily, right?
Mm.
The problem as well, Pete mentioned, was I think there are 11 sets, including the promos, that have basic actions. But actually, those sets are generally the biggest sets because they're the campaign boxes and the full sets.
Yeah,
where they have the best cards.
Yeah.
So you end up to use basic actions. Like on one of my teams, I have Blam Blam Blam, which is So I'm maybe I can I can take out. Well, I have Venomous Dreadnought as well. So I was like, if I can use it during the attack step, paying off some stuff, then Blam 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 might be able to take out some stuff. But some rubbish card because I just had to have a basic action.
It's good fun, and it should mean that we get some suboptimal teams, shall we say. They're not going to be people I suppose might have one team that fires on all cylinders and then one just kind of completely janky terrible thing that's just thrown together with with sticking plasters, and
that's how you do it, right? That's the way to go.
I haven't finished doing my... You guys are very organized. We speak, I think 4 days before the team submission deadline, so I'm way off putting my teams in, but you guys are very organized.
I hated the fact they put all the promos as one thing.
Oh, yeah.
I found that very annoying. Well, I don't know. Let's just do whatever we want with the promos. There's only three good ones anyway.
I know, yeah.
So there'll be on every team.
Kate Bishop. An agent, like Widow Agent. Yeah, they're all good. All right. Well, the new two-team deck now, 20 by 20, kicks off. Well, by the time you listen to this, the team submission deadline would have passed, and things will be almost on the verge of getting underway. So we'll no doubt keep you posted with how things are going. But should we round off with a little bit of AOB? Well, we have got one or two little things just to round up at the end of the show. Don't forget, James has been busy on the video front, recording left, right, and center with anybody who will talk to him.
That's not really true, to be fair. Many thanks to Jason, who has part with me. Go on, Spug.
All right. And maybe we can temper that slightly. Yes, thank you, Jason, for entertaining James and for coming up with so many interesting team building ideas, actually, for him to play off, because it makes for some really interesting videos. So do check them out on our YouTube channel. But also, if you enjoyed listening to the marvelous Dana Patton / General Nemesis, US champion and world's runner up, who obviously appeared on our podcast last time around, James has also filmed a Chronicles video with him. James, what are the Chronicles videos, for those who don't know?
They are a series of videos tracking the major teams of the Dice Masters meta.
Very nicely explained. And obviously we did a Turbo Barry one just recently from this latest meta, and now obviously the Master Mold, which ruled the roost effectively at US Nats and Worlds just in the last few weeks. Dana picks it apart and goes through it in forensic detail. So if you want to know more about that, then do tune in on the YouTube channel. We've got Dice Fight going on Thursday night. James, what's going on over the next couple of weeks? 6th and 13th of October.
6th is the first Thursday of the month, it would seem, which means that it will be Legacy 31.
No, 31.
That's getting on for 3 years.
Sure. Wow. Wow. Can't believe
the longest running Legacy ever.
Yeah. It'd almost be time to reset, wouldn't it? I'll get to the point where they might actually.
And then October the 13th, I think October the 13th kicks off a series of Halloween related events.
Oh, right.
Because there are three that I can see that have been scheduled by Rick and Danny. Thank you, guys. The first on the 13th is Hallowen.
What's that spell?
Yes. Where all the cards on your team have to start with those letters, you mean?
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. And then there's another, the one after that is single affiliation D&D monster. Mm-hmm. Which looks good. I don't know what exactly. I guess that's exactly what it says on the tin, probably. Golden and orange. I assume Halloween is probably green. I don't know. And then Necro War, which is Jason's format. I'll put a video in the show notes because that requires a little bit of explanation, but it's pretty good. Your sidekicks gain various abilities.
Nice. That sounds like fun. Well, if you want to catch it, it's Thursday night. It's 9 p.m. UK time, 10 p.m. Central European time. Other time zones are also available around the world. Do get involved with that. It's just a bit of fun. Three rounds usually, but it's a welcoming community of Dice Masters action. Otherwise, that's all from us this time around. Don't forget to like, rate, review, and subscribe using your favorite podcast app so you can be the first to know about a new episode when it drops. If you want to get in touch, then James, what is the best email to use?
It's hello@dmunited.eu.
Indeed it is. And if you get in touch with a comment, then you might get your message read out in February next year. Or as soon as we get around to looking in the inbox. Yes, thank you to everyone who has been in touch. Please do let us know your thoughts. Otherwise, we will see you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Monsieur Minky makes me merry.
Bye. Bye-bye.